Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to live a happier and healthier life. Thanks for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series which introduces you to wellness professionals offering their expertise and assistance. Today's topic is marriage, challenges men face and how to address them. If you sometimes find marriage challenging, no matter if you're a man or a woman, I trust that after listening to this podcast, you'll experience more clarity and find yourself breathing a bit more easily. The professional I'm introducing today is Thabang Tlaka, clinical psychologist, author, speaker, creative and media personality from Pretoria. Welcome, Thabang.
Good day. Thank you very much. And hello to all your listeners.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. After our conversation, there will be a little light-hearted fun question time. Thabang, could you please tell us about your work?
Thank you very much. I am a practicing clinical psychologist, registered with the Health Professions Council. I've been doing this for about 15 years, almost 15 years now. I'm a married man. I have three children. I am a writer. I think I've been writing longer than I've been a psychologist, you know, a thinker. I write stories, I've staged plays, written books, and I run, currently training for the Comrades Marathon.
And you're a poet, right?
And I'm a poet. I'm a poet. I'm a poet at the core, yes.
Now, about the writing, you've written several books, including books on love relationships. Would you like to talk about your books?
Yes. As I mentioned, you know, working as a clinical psychologist almost for 15 years now, I've seen hundreds of couples. And when you do that, when you sit with a lot, many couples, themes tend to pop up. They tend to repeat certain ideas, certain concepts. And then I noticed that people miss foundational ideas about relationships. So then I wanted to put together some material that people can go through, because I felt that I kept repeating myself and I wished people knew things like that. So my first relationship workbook was called The Love Adventure. In there, it's just I'm taking a couple on a journey of questions they should reflect on, think about before going to marriage, or if they are married, if they missed those fundamental principles. So it's like a blueprint. So I wrote a blueprint for how to ask questions that build a healthy, lasting relationship. As you mentioned also, I am a poet. And as I perform, of course, those are the eternal themes. You write about grief, but you write about the supreme ethic, which is love. And I wrote a book called The Love on the Table, because currently the conversation would be, what do we bring on the table? What value do you bring in a relationship? And I thought that was an interesting concept. So there I explored how the Greeks looked at love. So I broke down the book into seven comments. You know, the Greeks had different ideas about love. So sometimes when we say we love, we're not really talking about the same thing. Some people say, I love food. I love my dog, I love my kid, I love my partner, I love traveling. But that love, you know, it's very nuanced. And so I wrote a poetry book like that, and some of the pieces I used to go and perform. And then whilst working with couples as well, I started seeing, it was mostly women. Let's say at my practice for many years was, let's say, maybe 90% women. And that would come, discuss their problems, mostly relationships. We'd say everybody's perfect until they're in a relationship. But I used to wonder about the men, and the men they talk about, the men they are stressing about. And then with time, I began doing men's events, and these men kept coming to therapy. So then I wrote a book then titled The Temptation of Mr. Married, trying to explore and explain the different things that men struggle with.
And today, that's what we're going to look at. I must say, I found your title very powerful.
Yes, I suppose it's the poet in me. You know, you always create. You don't stick to the simple. You know, you philosophize, and so I enjoyed that title because all my titles. I think Love on the Table, The Love Adventure, The Temptation of Mr. Married. I think they've got an edgy, provocative, enticing title to them.
Absolutely. Now, Thabang, today we're looking at men and marriage. Generally speaking, would you say men and women marry for different reasons?
Yes, I think we can look at the question on two levels. I think there's a biological component and there's a social component. You know, it's the nature and the nurture debate. When you look at how, like when I sit in sessions, for example, and you hear a couple arguing or trying to make sense of the things they're struggling with, you'll see that they are prioritizing different things. Men would typically prioritize, say sex. Say intimacy, like it's a big thing with men. And that on a biological level, I suppose one would think of the level of testosterone because that also changes with time as men age and things like that. But men are very interested in that. Men are very interested in how people talk to them. So men are sensitive to language, the way my partner talks to me, the way other people talk to me. So there's a thing about respect. Men care about what we call domestic support. Things like I need a woman to help me build a home. I think I'll go out, I'll go slug it out in the world, but I need somebody to help me with things like a meal, things like my shirts, things like is the home taken care of. Men prioritize those things. Men prioritize somebody who, you know, if he's got a hobby, maybe it's a sport or he likes his gardening or he likes working in the shed or in the garage or something like that. Men appreciate somebody who gives them, I suppose, a partner who understands that about themselves. And another one which might seem a little bit shallow, men actually care about the way their partner looks because it's got something about status. And when you go in the world and the way your partner looks almost impacts on a man's self-esteem or there's something that says about them. So men prioritize those things which I find a little bit different from how women prioritize things. And women, which generally I find, if I'm generalizing, prioritize things like intimacy, communication, you know, open your heart, be truthful to me, connect with me, spend time with me, lead the family. How are the finance doing, like security and things like that. So men and women generally want the same things, but they put different values, the different weighting on the things that they desire.
Thank you. You put it so lucidly. And then focusing on men, what would you say motivates men to get married?
Men, I find they want a companion. Men don't typically pick somebody because somebody says he's doing well. So they're not looking, say, for a partner to support them. They are looking for, say, a companion to help them navigate the challenges of life. Somebody who can comfort them when they've faced, say, the arrows from the world, or you know, when I've gone and you know, wasted myself or spent myself trying to fight the world, to conquer, to be significant. I want somebody who is going to, you know, be peaceful. Men use this word peace. I was listening to a radio show the other time, and Father's Day was coming up. And the presenter asked the question to the listeners. He said, what do you want for Father's Day? Not socks and chocolates and shirts and jerseys. And what do you want this? What do you want this Father's Day? And a man called, and it is how he said it. He said, this Father's Day, I just want peace. I just want to be able to walk in the house and have peace. And so there's something about a calm home, a way a person talks. I think men prioritize those things. But I must say, when you study the trends now, there's also something about the economic pressures. And so there's also a question about I would like someone who can also contribute financially to life. So men consider those things. But I think as a priority, men want a companion to just help them calm down after they've dealt with the challenges of the world.
Which misconceptions may shape men's expectations of marriage?
I think one of the things that I noticed is like men struggle with understanding how to want themselves and like as if the way a man is how he must stay if he's to make a relationship work. I think that's a misconception. I think when it comes into a relationship, is the way you are and there are ways that you must develop. I think there are misconceptions about women, what women want, because the current conversation is that women just simply want to use men, and men are shying away from relationships because they feel that, for lack of a better description, it's a scam, that it's not worth it, because if you work so hard, a woman is going to come in your life and she's going to take your money, take kids. And so there's that, not understanding that women are also interested in that union and how to make it work. The other misconception, well, I don't know if it's a misconception as well, but men tend to generally think that if you are not of a certain economic class, a relationship is not for you. But to some degree, you know, there's a truth to that. If your bank account looks a certain way, there are things you cannot achieve in life, including relationships, that they are harder to manage.
Once married, Thabang, which societal challenges may men experience?
Let's call it financial provision. There is an immense pressure to be able to afford and pay for things. And there's almost this thing in men's spirits and souls that if I don't have money, I can't even entertain the idea of having a partner. So there's a pressure. I'll even say that when it comes to therapy, it's much better for a man to even get a job before he, like a job would be more useful to him than, if you say, therapy first, right? You'll need therapy, but you want to get him fit, you want to get him working. Then he has meaning. So there's that societal pressure. Then the other societal pressure, which I don't know if it's a positive or a negative thing, it's a bit of both, is that men are called to now measure up emotionally. Long men have been told that what they need to do is just go make some money and show up at home. But the current situation is that everybody, the women are so developed, advanced, financially, emotionally, spiritually. And the pressure for men now is to come up, to match that emotionally, to have an expansive experience of different feelings. And men are currently struggling with that. But though I see there's a bit of movement, but there is a pressure to provide, a pressure to level up emotionally, and a pressure to, I suppose, to be significant. I would say those are the ones that would be prominent.
Yeah, and my next question ties in with that. I was going to ask you, which psychological challenges may men experience?
Yes, so some time back, I was trying to do research around men and how men cope with divorce, because I found that men struggle with that. You know, men don't really do well with something like that. And in my readings, what I came across is the thing that men struggle with is what we call inexpression. And so it's a double-edged sword in that a man is rewarded for not, say, being emotional. I'll put it in inverted commas. It's a man who can control his emotions is a man that's desired, a man who's stoic is desired. But the price, the shadow, the painful part would be that then he's not able to, when emotions are needed, he cannot deal with that. So he doesn't express. So if he's going through trouble, he loses his job. I've seen many men in ICU who tried to complete suicide. Men in ICU, they've lost their job. But now the idea is that I must be stoic. I must manage all my emotions. He cannot go and tell his family, his partner, that I've lost my job. And so that inexpression makes it difficult for men to process what they are feeling. And then they end up in trouble in that maybe they try to hurt themselves, they drink, they become promiscuous, they become violent, they struggle with anger. So that psychological pressure, the inability to express the emotional content and to work with it, men struggle with it.
And which relationship challenges do you often see in your work?
I'd say the first one for me is, let's say, self-awareness. So people haven't taken time to reflect on who they are, you know, their personality, how they work, whether their personality in terms of are they an introvert and extrovert? Are they open to experiences? Are they agreeable? Are they disagreeable? Are they more emotional or are they more conscientious? So people don't take time to understand that about themselves. Two, they don't take time to understand their own story. You know, there's a saying, tell me how you were raised and I'll tell you how you love. Because people haven't reflected on that, they don't know the impact they have on other people. So I'll say self-awareness. The second thing is maybe what we'd call theory of mind, or perspective taking would be another one. The ability to imagine how another person thinks and sees things. So then as men, we often talk to the other person as if we speak our language to them, as opposed to explaining things according to the way they are wired, according to their personality, their perspective. And so if you are not self-aware and you can't talk in a way that the other person can see your point, then you struggle with relationships. I think also how to manage conflict, how to sit and have a conversation from the beginning that goes in the middle, that ends with a conclusion. I find that people, men struggle with things like that. And just maybe being patient enough to understand their partner. That you don't always have to give solutions, but there's something about patience and being able to listen actively with a different ear, to be present, to not always rush to the next thing. Those are some of the common things that I pick up with men.
This is very insightful. And since we've now looked at some pressures which many married men experience, could you offer some psychological tools for strengthening marriage?
Yes. You know, and a strange one, which I often offer to couples is not such a psychological tool, but a very important thing. It would be kindness. I'd say that in every interaction with your partner, you want to be kind. You want to be, whether you are having a conflict, you are having a disagreement, things are tough, things are doing well, be kind. Because after that, if you have a very bad interaction, but there's no kindness in it, it's very difficult to come back from that. So I'd say that would be a good tool to always have a posture of the mind that says, let's be kind. So that's the first. I would say the second is to the ability, I'd say what we call active listening. So you are listening not to just words. We see men and women communicate like this. When men communicate, they generally are systematic in their approach. So they are listening to the words and the argument, so what you are saying. But women as a group would, not all women, but as a group will pay attention more to, we say they are empathetic in their nature, so how the conflict feels. So I'd say as a tool that a man needs to learn would be how to listen actively. Not just for the words, not just for the content, but for the process, what is going on in between us as we are having this conversation. I would say another tool would be mindfulness, to be present. Men tend to typically struggle to be present. See, then a man would be in the home, but his mind might be at work, or he might be outside, or he's concerned maybe about the next bill or something like that. I would say to practice the ability of kindness. And then it goes without saying, the ability to communicate, to articulate yourself, to say what you mean, to say what you mean, and to, I'll say, correct your partner if you feel misunderstood. Do not just pull away for the sake of, in inverted commas, peace. There's a thing that related to peace. There's a thing that men do, which is avoiding important conversations for the sake of false peace. We say women confront to connect, and men tend to maybe look at that as disrespect. But I want to say what I would challenge men is to say it's better to be kind than nice, that you want to be able to stay even if the conversation is uncomfortable, to learn the skill to start the conversation and end it properly with a conclusion. And then the last one I would say, I think the tool it would be, I would often say to couples, right, to men, it's not your way or my way, but it's our way. So the ability to create something that benefits the both of us, something that we can co-create that makes us both work, not something that works for you at my expense or something that works for me at your expense, but the ability to make something, to create something, a relationship that works for the both of us.
A quick note on what I do. I showcase health and wellness experts and creative individuals who inspire transformation to help them expand their reach, build credibility, and connect with new clients. Featuring these professionals in podcast episodes and articles benefits my worldwide audience, who gain access to solid information and get to know experts who can support their growth. If you're a wellness expert keen to raise your profile, visit marietsneeman.co.za and explore the services section. I offer my podcast guests and article contributors step-by-step support, especially if it's your first time being interviewed. Now, back to my guest. Could you offer one or more examples of men who have succeeded in strengthening their relationships?
Let's use a common one, which might seem a bit strange. So I've often find that men and birthdays, right? Men struggling with birthdays. So it might play out like this. A certain man... There's a lady, she cares about her partner and she wants to surprise him for a birthday. And he might say, no, I don't care about that. It's just an ordinary day. And then maybe she goes, you know, she goes ahead and she plans maybe a surprise or something at work or somewhere. And she surprises him with family members or friends around. Then she gets a shock of her life because he becomes very upset about it. He becomes very upset about it, and she doesn't understand why. So they come to somebody like me, and we start unpacking this thing. And then the men start learning how much they were neglected, how much they needed to be, say, seen, to be heard, to be cared for, to not be seen as just workhorses that are just to work and die, are like soldiers. And so I find success stories when men begin to appreciate their own stories of hurt, their own stories of becoming. And when we have those conversations, I found that the relationships tend to be a bit more calmer because the couple is able to engage on a level that they were not able to engage before. They also learn the tool to appreciate how they are feeling. I find that success stories happen with men who are taught what we call congruence, the ability to communicate your needs, your feels, so your inner world matching your outer world, saying and asking for what you'd like. I find when men learn those skills, they tend to have more meaningful, more engaged interactions with their partners.
Yes. When does a man or a couple need professional help?
It's a good question. So typically, we say that a couple needs, or a man or anyone in general needs to see a professional. When, so you have to first recognize what your baseline is emotionally. So your ability to function daily. So you have your baseline and you are able to function daily. When you are starting and you are now you start having a problem, maybe it's emotional, it's psychological, but it's distressing you to the extent that it's affecting your work. It's affecting relationships, it's affecting maybe your studies or other important areas of functioning. When you start being disrupted by something that's concerning you, it's time to see someone. It's time to see someone when you start behaving out of character. It's time to see someone when, say, for example, you have a low mood over a prolonged period of time. Or other people actually tell you that you seem to have changed. It's time to see someone when say the ideas you have about people do not match the world. You find you are constantly bashing or coming across, you're having conflict with a lot of people because of the way you are thinking, right? So as I mentioned earlier, we all think we are perfect until we are in relationships. And so when you start clashing a lot, it's time to talk to someone. Then the other one, I'll say it's time to talk to somebody when you want to use this word, what we call integrate. Sometimes there's nothing really wrong with you, but you find yourself at a point in your life where you are reflecting on the many things that you've wanted, that you've gone through, but you don't see the thread. You don't see how they connect to each other. So when you find yourself at that place, when you are say reflective and there are many parts of you, you are almost feeling a bit fragmented, it's time to see a professional to help you integrate your experiences and your emotions and your psychological becoming. When you start doing that, I think therapy is very beneficial, you know. And lastly, I think we don't always have to see, wait for trouble to see a professional. I think it's good once in a while to go to talk to somebody and bounce off the many ideas that are floating in your head to help you center, to help you settle yourself.
Thabang, which resources for enhancing relationships or marriage can you offer?
Of course, from my own space, I would say the love adventure. I would say The Temptation of Mr. Merritt. Then there's a book I found, you know, I read it many years ago. I found as an introductory book to relationship, this book is good. It's called His Needs and Her Needs. I read it many years ago, but when I read it, I thought, you know, before I see couples, I think they must read this book. I think if people can start with that book, His Needs, Her Needs, that'll be good. There's another resource. I think, is it John Gottman? I think he and his wife do a lot of work around relationships, and they're the ones who popularize the idea around the four horsemen of divorce, being contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling, I'm forgetting the other one. I think that that would be a good place to start. And then the one other author maybe I'd recommend would be slightly controversial, but Esther Perel. Mm. I think she's got some insights, some wonderful insights on relationships.
Thank you. Will you tell listeners where they can find your books?
Yes. You can find my books on www.tavantlaka.co.za. I also have books on Take a Lot, and I have some books in Exclusive Books, and wherever I host events.
Right. And while we're speaking about your website, where can people follow you?
Yes, so my website has links to everything. So if you go on my website, www.tavantlaka.co.za, if you go on that website, you can see my books, you can book appointments, and you can also see my social handles, and you can click on those and see the many things that I'm doing as I enjoy life and love.
What are your favorite social media platforms?
Yeah, my social media platforms, the ones that I enjoy, I enjoy Instagram. I used to be on, what's this, X. And it didn't, every time I went on there emotionally, it disturbed me a little bit. YouTube, because I've got a channel there. Somebody told me to start a TikTok account. And so I post some videos there. They say for the younger crowd, you know, get on TikTok, I was told. But I'm not a big social media person, but I try to do that to let people know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'll put all of this in the podcast notes. And then tell us about your podcast series, Azania in Therapy.
Yes, that's a wonderful project I'm working on. It's called Azania in Therapy. It's a psychoeducational channel. So I get colleagues like myself, people working in, say, wellness, you know, family, people who are interested in family. And so we discuss topics like that. We discuss topics around family. And Azania is the idea that we want to heal South Africa. So we talk about things that ideas for a better life, ideas that help South Africa becomes better, ideas that are more related, say, to relationships, to family, to psychology.
Before we wrap up, may I ask you a fun question?
No problem. Let's go.
If you were a piece of metal, Tabang, worked into a beautiful object, what object would you be?
Sure. When you say piece of metal.
Yes, it can be something small or it can be something big.
The first thing actually that comes to mind would be a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's, I don't know, it's because I work on chairs a lot, but I'd like to be a platform where people can rest on.
Mm.
I'd like to be, I see myself as a space, a place where somebody can let down their hair and bare their soul and get re-energized and get set up for more, to be fortified for life.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Tabang. I learned a lot from you today, and thank you for talking about the challenges relating to marriage and romantic relationships so clearly, and also thank you for the practical steps that you mentioned.
Much appreciated, and thank you very much for inviting me. All the best to your listeners. And I hope this year is their best year yet. You know, people are going through such a hard time, and I just hope that everybody, you know, just gets a little bit of magic, a little bit of beauty, that this year just gives them something precious to hold on to.
Thank you. I can only agree, and thanks to our listeners for joining us. If you found this episode inspiring, please share it with someone you care about. go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.